Jaya Radha Madhava Kunabi Raghudri. Jai Urad Humadhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Nana Balaba Kiri Padadahute. Gopi Tanabalapa Yidi Padadahude. Yasoda Nandana Prajada Durandana. Yasoda Nandana Prajada Durandana. Jamuna Tera Bana Chakti. Yamuna Te Ravana Chakti. Jai Hurad Umadhava Kunabi Hakti. Joyo Radha Madhuva Kunabi Hari. Gopi Jana Pallava Iti Padata Kuti. Gopi Janamanava Kiri Vanadahude. Kiri Vanadahude Yasudanandana Prajajana Ranjana. Yasudanandana Braja Jana Ranjauna. Jamuna Tira Bana Chauti. Yamuna Tira Bana Chauti. Jai Ho Radha Madhuva Kunabi Hari. Jai Ho Radha Madhuva Kunabi Hari. Radha Madhuva Kunjabi Hari. Jai Om Vishnupad. Paramahansa Paravirakacharya Osho Teta Satoshi Srimad. His Divine Grace Abhaya Chadanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnav Nikajai. Namacharya Shidahidas Thakur Kajai. Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidvaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Gajaya Sri Sri Radhakrishna Govinda Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagadathasami Kijai Yuvanamai Kijai Shivani Lasadevi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 17th chapter, text 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay. Atra Pravesha Garudo Yati Matshan Sa Kodati Sadhya Pranayar Aviyujeta Sacham Etad Bravimbi. Aham. All right. Atra Pravishya Garudahu Yadi Matshan Sakodati Sajja Pranayar Viyujita Sajja Metan Bravimyaham Atra Pravishya Garudo Yadi Matshan Sakadati Sajya Pranayar Vidyujeta Sachametad Bravimyaham Atra Pravishya Garudo Yadi Matshan Sakadati Sadhya Pranayar Viyujeta Sacham Etad Bhavim Yaham. Okay. Atra, in this lake, Pravishya, entering, Garudaha, Garuda, Yati, if, Matshan, the fish, Saha, he, Kodati, eats. Huh. It's interesting, that word, That's the same word that's used when people offer goats to the goddess Kali once a month, except they say Mamsa Karati, which basically means, as Prabhupada explains it, you will eat meat. Anyway, Mamsa. And actually the word for meat is Mamsa, which means me being eaten. It's another way to take it, me being eaten. Sadyaha, immediately. Pranahai, of his force of life. Viyujeta, will become deprived. Satyam, truthfully. Etat, this. Bravemi, am speaking. Aham, I. So translation. If Garuda ever again enters this lake and eats the fish here, he will immediately lose his life. What I'm saying is the truth, God. So you can repeat. If Garuda ever again enters this lake and eats the fish here, he will immediately lose his life. What I am saying is the truth. So, purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada, the acharyas explain in this regard that because of Shobari Muni's material attachment and affection for a fish, he failed to see the situation from the spiritual viewpoint. The ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes his fall down for this offense. Because of false pride, Shobari Muni lost his power of austerity and with it his spiritual beauty and happiness. When Garuda came to the Yamuna, Shobari Muni thought, although he may be a personal associate of the Supreme Lord, I will still curse him and even kill him if he disobeys my order. Such an offensive attitude against an exalted Vaishnava will certainly destroy one's auspicious position in life. As the ninth canto describes, Shobari Muni married many beautiful women and suffered greatly in their association. It doesn't mean that if one marries an attractive girl that one will suffer greatly, but because he was trying to enjoy materially. I just have to explain that. But because he had once become glorious by taking shelter of the Yamuna River in Sri Vrindavan, he was immediately or ultimately delivered. And so the acharyas explain things in a very interesting way, because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur translates this statement of when Garuda enters the water and then eats fish, immediately he will die, means that if Garuda entered the lake but did not eat fish, he would not die immediately, but slowly. Whereas if he ate the fish, he would die immediately. So being omniscient, Garuda understood that Shobari had made this curse, and thus he avoided this lake after that. One thing I need to explain is that Garuda was respecting the sage's curse. He was not subjected to the curses. And we'll talk about that a little later. Kaliya had heard this story from his relatives residing in that lake and therefore fled there. The bad desire of Shobari, the curse, arose from association with a fish and made him show mercy. Whoops. To a fish and anger towards Garuda. The result was great offense. Because of this, he fell from the bliss of Brahman. Because he attained a youthful body from his accumulated penances, he used this beauty to marry many young women, 50 of them. He fell into a hellish existence of material pleasure. That's interesting. After this suffering, he was later delivered because he had taken shelter of the potency of the Yamuna and Vrindavan. And the other acharyas say more or less the same thing. So, Om Gana Timadanda Sha Gananjana Shilakya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tosmai Shigurave Namaha. So, there's several topics here. One is association, the other one is material compassion, and the other one is basically not understanding a Vaishnava. So, we're going to touch upon these three things. So, first thing, it says that because of his association with a fish. Now, how do you associate? I mean, even if you're in the water, you're not really associating with a fish. But he identified with the fish's activities in order to feel compassion, or we're talking about material compassion, then one has to actually identify with what the person or the entity is feeling. I mean, just like, for example, when they show these different videos of what's happening in the dairies and in the slaughterhouses, I actually feel pain because I'm identifying, and I mean, it's a natural human response. I'm identifying with the suffering that the cow is undergoing. You know, because I actually feel, I say, oh my God. And you see the calf being separated from the mother, and the mother is screaming, the calf is screaming, the calf is locked up for, I was just looking at this thing last night, just before I went to bed, nice thing. So the calf is locked up for like 9 months with his head just like in a vice, not choking him, but just keeping his head from moving. And so when I see that, I actually picture myself in the same situation. How would I feel? Of course, that's also a natural Vaishnava response, what paradukha dukhi, to consider others' unhappiness to be more important than one's own unhappiness. So Shobhari Muni was seeing, especially the big fish, kingfish, so he saw the big fish being eaten, and he just like identified with the fish. And when you identify with something, of course, it's good to identify with a cow because you're in the mode of goodness. You know, I don't watch chicken videos that much. Although there was a nice video called Chicken Run. I don't know if you saw that. So anyway, so when he identified with the fish, then he got involved with the modes of nature. Because when you actually identify with a living entity, you understand, then the same modes of nature that that living entity is subjected to affect you, right? So the fish, usually not in the mode of goodness. Usually it's passion and ignorance. So previously he was in Brahman, so I'm describing his fall down right now. And Brahman means, you know, that you're in the mode of goodness, you know, shoot a shot, well, whatever. But you're not contaminated by the other two modes of nature, the passion and ignorance. In the material mode of goodness, of course, you are contaminated by some passion and ignorance. And the modes, being in continual flux in this world, can actually pull you down, even if you're in the mode of goodness and a good guy and everything like that. That's why there's that statement, Yashyasti Bhakti Bhagavat Chakinchana Savarganas Tatra Samasate Sura Harava Bhaktasha Kato Mahadguna Mano Retain Asati Davato Bahi. That one who is a devotee has all good qualities because he's always in Shuddha Shatva. But one who is not in a devotee of the Lord, then sometimes sattva is affecting him, so he exhibits some good qualities because of the contact with sattva, not because of his devotion or some inherent wonderfulness in his personality. It's because of his contact with sattva, right? I mean, we see that sometimes. When some of the workers come here, they actually exhibit some sattva. Not usually smoking cigarettes, but that's not really sattva. But, you know, they're actually, consciousness changes because they're in contact, of course, hopefully we have a shuddha sattva here, but at least it's sattva. Or when you go out in the forest, there's the forest is made by God, you know, the city is made by man. So you contact with the modes. Karanam guna sangasya sarasa janma jonishu. So here, Shobhari Muni was contacting with the mode of passion and ignorance. So instead of understanding the philosophy, because, you know, obviously he did understand the philosophy before, because how else would he get to the platform of Brahman? I mean, he had to know that he wasn't the body, right? I mean, that makes sense. He had to know that all living entities have a soul in their body, and the bodies are just the shell or just a machine that the soul is driving. was listening to a class. Prabhupada was talking about to someone in Mexico, really heavy this morning, and Prabhupada was talking about how we think we own the body, but it's just lent to you for some period of time, and you're inhabiting the body, but it's not your body. And that also is a good argument against abortion, someone's right to abortion, isn't it? Because it's not yours. You know, people say, it's my body. I can do whatever I want with my body. But you can't do whatever you want with your body. Right? You can't. I mean, you can try, but you're going to get a reaction for it. So Shobhari Muni, getting back to the point, he knew the philosophy. He knew basically probably the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita pretty well. You know, Vasamsi Jirnani Ataya Vahaya, the fish is not a fish. If I say that to a psychiatrist, I get locked away. A fish is not a fish. A human is not a human. I'm not this body. So he understood that, but he contacted with the lower modes of nature through his association and material compassion for the fish. And so that's why he got angry at Garuda, cursed Garuda, and thought himself the savior of the fish. Okay, so that's the first point. By bad association, even you may be in Brahman platform, even you may be on the platform of Bhava, as Bharat Maharaj was, but he associated with the deer. So that doesn't mean we should neglect the fish or neglect the deer, but we shouldn't associate with their mentality. We should always keep our association with great devotees. Of course, that is what Lord Chaitanya says, a satsanga tyage vaishnava char. So that's the first thing. Second topic I want to talk about was material compassion. How we get very sentimental about many things in this world and act in such a way that's contrary to our Krishna consciousness. And let me give you an example. One example that's, I guess it's in the political sphere, that many liberals are against capital punishment. You know, it's really interesting that as devotees, we like to, let's say, pick sides in the political sphere, isn't it? Now Democrats, of course, now I'm definitely a Democrat for a different reason. Anyway, can't say or else we'll lose our tax-exempt status. So that's personally, has nothing to do with the movement. So, but actually we see things on both sides of the political spectrum that we agree with and things that we disagree with on different sides of the political spectrum. So we can't really say I'm a Democrat or Republican or a libertarian or any of these other things. So we would agree with the Republicans who are against abortion, or against, I mean, sorry, they're for capital punishment. That's what we're talking about right now. But also we agree with them against abortion. So they are for capital punishment. And so then the liberals, the bleeding hearts, liberals, sometimes liberals are called bleeding hearts. And I get accused for being a liberal too sometimes. Bleeding heart, you know, compassion. What's compassion? Prabhupada said, you rascal. So anyway, so the liberals, they're against it. I mean, how? This is cruel and unusual punishment. But people don't understand how capital punishment is good for people who have committed a capital crime. Because, as Prabhupada explains, when one commits a capital crime, let's say I happen to murder Ari Purush, you don't go back to Godhead by being murdered by your guru. You go back to Godhead by being chastised by your guru, not murdered. But let's say I murder him. And so what's the karmic reaction for that? The karmic reaction for that is I get killed too. You know, every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So, therefore, the government understands that, a Krishna-conscious government understands that, not a sentimental, wishy-washy, bleeding heart liberal government. And I'm not saying we have that sort of government now, but I'm just saying certain governments are like that. They understand that. And they understand that if the person, the murderer, undergoes capital punishment, that gets rid of his karmic reaction. And then he can start afresh in the next life. Plus, it saves a heck of a lot of money in taking care of the creep for the rest of his life, isn't it? So that's another example. Here's an interesting example for material compassion that was shown by a demon. Because sometimes demons are materially compassionate. And it's not equal compassion that they have. I mean, for example, people in America, of course, in the modern world, they'll be very compassionate for a dog. You know, if they hear, and I'm not saying you shouldn't be, but if they hear that a dog in Korea is being eaten, or sometimes in the United States we get immigrants who come and have a barbecue of a dog, and they get arrested, and people go, oh, how horrible! But then if there is a barbecue of a cow, you know, what, hamburgers, or they have the ribs of a pig, you know, ribs, it's very popular now. Then people will say, oh, please invite me. Or the wings, or the gizzards. You know, I don't want to gross everyone out today. So here's an example, because that is actually Ravana consciousness, and I'll explain why I'm talking about Ravana consciousness. So Ravana, once upon a time, when he was challenging the demigods, he wanted to consider that he was capable of defeating death. And so death is Yamaraj, right? Or Yamaraj is in charge of that, you know, punishment of sinners. So he goes to Yamaloka to challenge Yamaraj. Now, that's not what this story is about. But when he arrives at Yamaloka, before he challenges Yamaraj, and we won't tell that story, he actually sees these poor souls suffering under the jurisdiction of Yamaraj, and they're being whipped, and they're being, what else, embracing the beautiful red-hot form of the opposite sex. They're being thrown off cliffs, and he feels compassion for them. And what does he do? He goes to the Yamadutas and ties them up. Interesting story. So the poor Yamadutas, they can't even do their service for Yamaraj. And then frees these guys, and these guys are guys and girls. Sorry, we have to be equal here. These guys and girls are just saying, Jai Yamaraj, our savior. But they're being punished for a reason, to help them. Just like if you have a child, and of course we don't advocate corporal punishment. It's the worst possible thing. But if a child is being restricted by his parents for some reason or other, and you go into the house and you just sort of like override the parents' discrimination, it's just like, how's the child going to be trained up? Just like that story the Prabhupada told about the aunt who wouldn't punish her nephew. She was taking care of her nephew, and he became a criminal and horrible person, and eventually he was condemned to death, and they asked him, do you have any last wishes? And he said, yes, I'd just like to say something to my aunt, whisper something in her ear. And he turns to her and he bites her ear off. And everyone say, why? And the reason, Prabhupada told this story. This is a Prabhupada story. And he says, because you never punished me. You never rectified me. I'm not advocating corporal punishment or, you know, punishment per se, but, you know, at least training. So the Yamadutas have it. So that's, anyway, that is actually material compassion. So, all right, so that's the second topic. The third one is actually much more interesting for me. And I'm going to recite a verse from the Majjhalila. It's a very interesting verse in the Majjhalila, chapter 23, text 39, if you want to look it up, but you probably don't have time. So the Bengali is, Nyanre chitte, Krishna prema, kariye udai, tanra vakya kriya mudra, vigeha na bujhoi. And for those who don't know Bengali, that means even the most learned man cannot understand the words, the activities, and symptoms of a person situated in prema. So, of course, Garuda is situated in prema. He does have some pastimes where he does exhibit false pride sometimes. Like, you know, one time, but this is a pastime. We shouldn't criticize Garuda. I mean, for example, one time he tells Lord Vishnu, without me, you can't go anywhere. And Lord Vishnu puts his arm on Garuda and says, fly, bird, fly. And Garuda becomes crushed. So there was a pastime. Or when Garuda tries to bring Hanuman to see Krishna and then Hanuman slashes him with his tail. But that's in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So actually, the story is also in the Puranas. I was always wondering why our house, Sanatan Goswami, got that story. But then I found the same story in the Puranas. So it's not that Sanatan Goswami is making up these stories. These pastimes actually occurred. So let me give some examples, practical examples, of how Vaishnavas get criticized, and not just the Garuda example. For example, you have Srila Prabhupada, who did certain things in his life that really were unusual, first of all, for a sannyasi, and secondly, like leaving his family. Like one may say, well, Prabhupada left his family. Of course, he left at the proper age. He didn't. But even Lord Chaitanya, I mean, Lord Chaitanya left home at, what, 24 years of age? I'm not suggesting that for you, Adi. So his wife was only 16. And, you know, what kind of example is that? Or Prabhupada leaving home, Prabhupada crossing an ocean, Prabhupada violating certain rules, like living with, what, malechas, who had cat food. You know, you may think, cat food, what's wrong with cat food? It's abominable. And cats should catch their own food. I had cats, and they definitely were quite adept at doing their own thing. But Prabhupada was living with people, and basically there's certain aspects of Varnashram Dharma that he wasn't following. You know, people try to impose like Varnashram Dharma sometimes. I mean, such as sannyasis crossing oceans, or he was a sannyasi, and he had to show the first ladies how to wear a sari. Thank God I never had to do that. Because I don't know. I hardly know how to wear a dhoti, what to speak of a sari. So he had to show ladies, even his disciples, like, and they joined the movement, and they went against their parents. I mean, you find in the Bhagavad Gita, right, that austerity of the body is to offer respects to superiors like mother and father, and even in the Ten Commandments, right? Ten Commandments. It says you should you honor your father and mother. So here's so one looks at the Vaishnava's activities from a material perspective, and those injunctions are not bad, but they're not meant for a pure devotee. You understand? That's why it says no one can understand. So you look at Prabhupada or even Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur even arranged, it's described that people doing construction, he even arranged to roll some of the beedies, isn't it? Those of you who don't know it, or cigarettes, sorry. you know, these are roll your own. Those of you from my generation will know what I mean by that. Some people say he even did it, you know, for his workers, so they would do it. And sometimes, the other day, someone was freaking out, you know, the workers are smoking cigarettes here. I said, I know. They said, it's the holy dumb. I know it's the holy dumb. But at the same time, you know, people have certain natures. I was talking to our contractor. He says, you can't control these people's nature, but they're doing the work. And I said, you know, this is Varnashram. I mean, obviously, in a Varnashram society, yes, those who are in the Shudra category would not be getting money. They would be given goods like clothes and a housing and everything like that. We're not talking about slavery here. It's a little bit different. So because for them, for someone who's inclined towards the mode of ignorance, an idle mind is definitely a devil's workshop. You know, for someone in the mode of goodness, an idle mind goes immediately, Krishna consciousness, an idle mind goes immediately to Krishna's lotus feet. So we don't have a situation where we can control, but Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur even arranged for feeding meat for the Britishers that were coming. And this is a violation. And when he was asked, you know, why are you doing this? He said, I've waited with something like many, many births, not to feed people meat, but to spread Krishna consciousness. And so Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they acted transcendentally. What to speak of Lord Nityananda acting transcendentally. So we should not criticize. And Garuda, he had every right. He had every right to eat fish. And I like Prabhupada, another point Prabhupada made about Jesus Christ here, this just came to mind. Sometimes people criticize that Jesus Christ ate fish. And Prabhupada said he's an Ishwara. Not Paramishwara. That means he's a controller. He's a great soul. So he may have done that. Ramananda Roy, what did he do? Does anyone know? I mean, he was, like we have our Devadasi here. I'm not showing her how to dance. Because then it would be a disaster. In other words, it would be a joke if I ever showed anyone how to dance. But besides that, I mean, Lord Chaitanya said, only Ramananda Roy. You know, so there's that whole story about Prajuna Mishra. Prajuna Mishra wanted to see Ramananda Roy and hear about the same topics that were discussed between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy in Vijayanagara on the banks of the Godavari. So Prajuna Mishra went to Ramananda Roy, and Ramananda Roy was busy teaching the Devadasis how to dance. And Prajuna Mishra really was, I mean, it's not described specifically, but we understand in the context that he just, what's happening here? You know, here's a transcendentalist, a spiritualist, teaching girls and actually dressing them up and touching them and, I guess, putting makeup on them and whatever else, teaching them different expressions, which I can't do, you know. Mudras, you know. So, the only mudra I know is the laugh mudra. But anyway, so teaching them different things. And so Prajuna Mishra, he goes back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, he's the only one who has that prerogative. Because Prajuna Mishra is actually confused by the whole thing. He said, even me, I think of myself as a renounced sannyasi, but even if I see the statue or form of woman and it changes my body and mind, and Lord Chaitanya, of course, obviously, he's Krishna. So, obviously, one way you can take that every time he sees Radharani, he has changes in his mind. There's another way you can take that. So it's not a false statement. but it could be applied in a certain way. Then Lord Chaitanya explains that Ramananda Roy is actually identifying himself as a gopi, assistant to Srimati Radharani. He explains that. And therefore he's able to do that because he's not identifying as the body, the male body. So, of course, one should not imitate an advanced Vaishnava like that. But one has to be very, very careful not to criticize. I mean, Prabhupada's godbrothers, they criticized him. They said, oh, he likes to hang out with the Mlechas. That's why he was successful. Oh, he was successful because he was a good businessman. And Prabhupada was a good businessman. But that's not the reason Prabhupada was successful. He was successful because Krishna was behind him in all his incarnations, rowing the boat. That's why Prabhupada was successful. Not because of course, Prabhupada was expert at everything too, but not because of that, but because Krishna was behind him and Krishna was empowering him. So one has to be extremely careful. And if you criticize a Vaishnava, because you're influenced by the motive, because that's why you would criticize, because you're influenced by the motive, passion, and ignorance. You want to be better than him. You know, we get very upset if someone does something better. If someone gives a better class than me, or someone leads a better kirtan than me, or what? What else? Better cook than me. Quinoa. Someone can cook quinoa better than me. You know, just envious. We should glorify. That's the opposite of criticizing a Vaishnava, looking for faults, because we don't understand. We glorify. Like another example Prabhupada gave, this, I'll just end with this one. Like Prabhupada, people were criticizing because devotees got arrested in Japan. You know, I know the story. Don't have to remind me. And they were saying, look, what is your movement? Look, your devotees got arrested in Japan. And Prabhupada replied, put it in the positive. He said, they were in Japan. What have you done? Yeah, they may have gotten arrested. That's another subject matter. But, you know, it was his godbrothers. But did you send anyone to Japan? Did you preach in Japan? Anyway, so Prabhupada turned it around. So one has to be very careful. That's the main thing. Okay.
One lady is
someone just disconnected the camera. There we go.
All right.
You're not online. How could you ask a question? Anyway, it's all right. Now you can ask a question. Let me just take this off with the DVD. Put this on something material myself. So. All right. So what's your question? Yes.
In other words, Chauvry and me could have been with the fish, but not been affected by the view of ignorance. And, you know, at the same time, we can be in the association of pure devotee, or even the Christian himself has been affected by the mind. You know, people stop Krishna being angry, they became lusty, you know, because of their own mind. So how do we decide whether we should avoid someone's association because of the way our mind is responding to their association, or if we should put ourselves in their association in order to change, like, to train our mind?
Oh my God. What a question. So let me translate so everyone can hear. Tomoko is saying it's actually our mind associating with certain things. It's not just the fish. You can't blame the poor little baby fish. It's actually our attitude towards the fish and actually our identification with the fish and attitude. It's the mind. Yeah, obviously, it's ultimately the mind. So one has to be strong enough. I mean, there's different, let's say, levels of advancement, devotional service, and adhikars, that is, ability or right that people have to be able to associate with a certain amount of maya or whatever, a certain amount of this material energy without getting disturbed. And we have to know what our adhikar is. You know, obviously, Ramananda Roy's adhikar was quite high because he's identifying with his spiritual body. You know, he isn't. He's Vishaka. That's a little bit different than us. But for the rest of us, we just have to know, even though it's just the mind, we have to know at what point we can actually, or how far we can actually go before we actually succumb to the illusory energy. So there's a limit. And how do we know? I guess that's because of, if we associate with the Vaishnavas, they'll help us, a spiritual master can help us understand what we're capable of doing. Like, I know that I would not try to teach the Devadasis. I'm not going to try to teach Champaka how to dance. Besides the point that, you know, I'm completely uncoordinated. But besides that, you know, so I know what is my limits. You know, so that I know what I can do. I know my abilities, the abilities that Krishna has sent me. So it takes discrimination. But certain times we just have to pull ourselves back because we're not capable of doing that right now. We're not strong enough. It's like, you know how much weight you can lift. And if you lift too much, like me, you have to get a hernia operation. So we have to know that. One point I want to make in class that I forgot to make was that sometimes we try to, and I did sort of hint at it, we try to impose varnashram attitudes on people who are actually serving the deities, or people who are more transcendental, than we try to impose, like, basically, yes, varnashram, like what someone is supposed to do according to their particular type of body. You know, like for example, let's say the woman's guru thing. You know, let's take that for example. Like someone looks at varnashram and says, well, you know, varnashram and the ladies should be rolling rotis. Rotis? Chapatis. Rolling chapatis in the kitchen, barefoot, you know. And so that's varnashram. And, you know, it's not applicable in every single circumstance. Plus, certain people are transcendental to varnashram. And we have to identify how much we are transcendental to varnashram. I mean, and that requires the Association of Devotees to understand that. And it's a tricky thing. It's actually tricky. So let's see if anyone has any questions. What's that? Yeah. Yeah, that's true too. Like Shobari should have never associated or seen Garuda. But of course that was unavoidable. It was the pastime. So the question is, yes, we have to. Prabhupada said that a neophyte should not really be constantly associated with an advanced devotee, nor should be doing the deity worship. Two things there. Okay, let's see if we have any questions from our many fans online. Anyone want to ask a question who's online right now? Oh, I got to free them up because I am controlling their speaking. Whoops, hold on a second. Right. Our participants. Okay, you Prabhus online can ask questions now.
Hare Krishna, Gurudev, Dandavat Pranam, thank you very much.
I think nobody knows who that is. Yeah, so what's the question, Lady Kant?
Gurudev, what is the difference between Shobari Muni's compassion for the fish and Arjuna's compassion for his kinsmen? And both. Why?
There's no difference.
No difference.
No difference, but Arjuna didn't commit offenses. Okay. Sentimental compassion.
That's why one was blessed and other was...
Well, because one followed Krishna's instructions. He had Krishna there. And Shobari Muni just had the instructions of his mind. Oh. So Arjuna's compassion for his kinsmen was exactly the same thing, but he was fortunate enough to be... to have Krishna's instruction. And Shobari Muni knew better because he was already quite qualified in spiritual knowledge. Okay?
Okay, thank you, Gurudev.
So, if there's no other questions...
Can I ask a question?
Oh, my God. That's Mother Tulsi.
Yeah.
It's hibernation. You're supposed to be in hibernation. Okay, so what's the question?
Okay, so if we... like watch some movie or hear some news and it stirs up our different emotions, then we're associating with those material modes and it contaminates us?
Yes. So we have to be careful. And also, you know, sometimes it happens, we're watching a movie or hopefully not too many movies. So we may be watching a movie or reading the news and stirs up our emotions, material emotions. We have to be able to identify that as material emotions and not get into it, not contemplate it. Because when you contemplate, anybody can experience material emotions. But by contemplating them, one gets attached to them. When one gets attached, one becomes, we say, lusty, but in the sense of like really hankering. And then when you become attached and hankering, what is it? Jayato Vishakapam Samasangos Tesha Bajaya Sangat Sanjayate Kama. And then what? Kama Krota Bijayate. Then you start to get angry. So that's the whole point. You know, obviously we all experience material emotions, you know. Like when I see the American flag, I think, you know, God bless America. Well, God bless America, that's good. My country... 'tis of the sweet land of liberty, like that. You know, anyway, so all these material thoughts may come into my mind, but I understand, hey, Maharaj, that's Maya. And I don't meditate on them. You know, I just understand. I'm able to discriminate between Maya thoughts. You know, so we do have some sentimental, we all get sentimental, hopefully, unless you're like a psychopath. You do get sentimental from time to time, but you have to examine according to your intelligence. Okay, I think we have to end because
Gurudev,
time.
can I just quickly ask one?
Yes, you can.
Spiritual compassion means soul consciousness. Is it Gurudev? Or how do I understand it?
Yeah, spiritual compassion means I want someone to become Krishna conscious to make an ultimate solution to all their problems.
Okay.
At the same time, we can help alleviate someone's temporary material suffering, but not at the cost of impeding their spiritual progress, because that's described by Prabhupada as violence.
Okay.
Okay, we are going to end. Thank you very
Okay.
much, all
Thank
of
you,
you,
Gurudev.
for joining us. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.